The Crawdaddy Rock Review now delivers a brief listen to a bit of unsettling news and nonsense facts gathered from the national neighborhood. Here comes Super Slurper, although you won't be sipping it on lazy afternoons. Scientists are still refining this combination of starch and man-made materials for a variety of revolutionary uses. The so-called Super Slurper absorbs 5,300 times its weight in distilled water, and it's getting thirstier all the time. Key uses for the product include farming and babies' diapers. Could this be the beginning of the stay dry, no cry baby baby? Had the heebie-jeebies lately? Some of the callers to a toll-free number set up in Arizona have dubbed it the Monster Hotline. Researchers at the other end of the line are collecting information and first-hand descriptions on all kinds of unexplained phenomena. Reports range from Loch Ness-type creatures to personal encounters with abominable snowmen. If the Iceman cometh, he may very well try to bring the ice along. Seriously, Navy weathermen are tracking the world's largest iceberg, measuring 45 miles long, 25 miles wide, and 1,000 feet thick. Over the past 10 years, the hunk has drifted far from the Antarctic coast. Scientists are now trying to figure a safe, economical way to tow it to arid lands such as drought-stricken California. If science triumphs, the ice block water source would provide the Golden State with enough fresh water to last 1,100 years. The gold man of swimming has his neighbors buzzing these days. Olympic champion Mark Spitz recently paid all of $160,000 for a new home in Los Angeles. That's not unusual for the neighborhood, but the home, unlike most others, doesn't have a swimming pool, and there's no room on the property to build one. 7 gold medals and a lot of chlorine. Perhaps enough is enough. That's it for today's Nonsense News. This is Pete Fornital with the Crawdaddy Rock Review, brought to you by Dishwasher.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Hello again, this is Pete Fornital back on the Crawdaddy Rock Review presented by Dishwasher. My guest today, Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys, one of the more phenomenal groups in popular music for almost 17 years now, and excited in a different sense because of a brand new solo project that arrived a short time ago entitled Pacific Ocean Blue. Dennis, why all these years, or after all these years, a solo project now?
Because I am prepared for it now, and back then, say 4, 5, 6 years ago, I was not prepared.
Musically?
Musically. Emotionally, lyrically, technique-wise, everything. The whole, if you could look at, you know, at making a record from writing, singing, playing, mixing, and your thoughts and production and techniques, you know. I think today I am very, very much prepared.
What set of factors had to fall together for Pacific Ocean Blue to happen? Was it Brother Studio? Did that have anything to
do with it? A lot to do with it. Brother, I think by building Brother Studios with Carl, by being in a studio and wanting it to be good, sound good, and the machinery right. So what I found myself naturally doing, a natural process, was creating. And it came very natural and very good, and one thing led to another. And Jimmy Curcio, owner of Caribou Record Company, mm-hmm. said, Dennis, I want you to make an album for me.
Did you feel that during your tenure with the group, different contributions of yours to Beach Boy albums, did you feel that they related more to the group as a whole or to Dennis Wilson as an individual?
They obviously came from me, but I wanted the involvement of the whole group.
Now, I'll tell you why I asked that. Because people expect, when an individual from a group releases an album, for that album to evoke images of the group. That's not the case with Pacific Ocean Blue.
I absolutely agree.
It is a raw album. Raw in its emotions, not in its technical aspects, because technically it is very sophisticated. When I think back to the early Beach Boy singles, like Surfin', and I compare it to the things that the group is doing now and that you on your own are doing now, it is 1,000 miles apart from one another. So it is not raw in the technical sense, but raw in the emotional sense. This is as personal, it's almost painfully personal at times. You're talking about things on here. Let me be specific.
This is radio, Pete. We can't.
We're gonna. You have a song on here entitled Farewell, My Friend, which is as stark a tribute to another human being as I've ever heard. Would you be willing to discuss the...
Absolutely. Some people mistake it. They think it's a very sad, negative song. And my very best friend, while making the album, a month before, passed away in my arms. And it's just a beautiful tribute. It was my brother's, Carl's, father-in-law.
An older gentleman.
Older gentleman. He was 84. Beautiful man. Pop Hinchy.
On what levels did you relate? Did he understand
everything?
What the Beach
Boys for some reason, all levels.
Farewell, my friend.
Did he understand what the Beach Boys mean to people?
Oh, God. To him. He told me that the Beach Boys were very, very important. Things like, and it's hard being a Beach Boy to say that the Beach Boys are a very, very important group in the world. But it sounds funny I don't feel funny saying it, but I am sensitive about saying it. It brings out emotions. But the point I was trying to make was that he was the man in my life, like the father image. When my father passed away, I became very close with him because he was close to my father and close to, obviously, the family because of he being the father of Carl's wife. So we related, and he was the one in my life, like my father, to tell me how important what I'm doing is, and how I should respect it and take care of myself physically, and you must be clear-minded. He was like a coach.
That's great.
So when you can be that intimate with someone, or if I was really upset or really down, I could go to him. And being that close, it's like having a father.
I do want to explore the notion of what the Beach Boys have meant to a couple of generations now and get your reading of that.
All right. I can remember laying in bed at night, listening to In My Room on the radio, for instance. This is going back a little bit.
Yes, it is.
But when I was kind of cold and lonely, you know, that record meant something to me. Even though I was part of the group and I sang on it and I made the record, but I could be home alone in bed listening to that on the radio or on tour and, you know, in a hotel with the radio on and hear the record and be soothed. And I related to it. To this day, sometimes I go, whew, when I hear that record.
There's a world where I can go and tell my secrets to. In my room, in my room.
Even though it's my brother Brian, and I've grown up with him, and I've slept in the same bedroom with him for half of our lives, you know, for some reason I relate to the Beach Boys' music on a very personal level, away from being a Beach Boy, but being one.
You can detach yourself.
Yes.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Do you perceive the rise and fall that the group has had in the public's eye, and then rise again? In other words, how do you explain the regenerated popularity of the band in the last few years?
I would have no way of putting that in, except there was a time where I know that the Beach Boys were not as popular in the sense of what is the hip thing to do today.
Right.
You know, from instead of seeing surfboards in Iowa on top of a car where there is no ocean, there was a change from where everyone was very obvious about having a package of zigzags. You know what I mean? It was like we went from surfboards to zigzag paper. So Jimi Hendrix's time, the Beach Boys became very bubblegummy, very insignificant. And I felt that. And I remember at times being a bit embarrassed about people going, Beach Boys, you know.
It must be a great source of comfort and relief, though, to know that it has gone full circle, and that
and
new generations.
I know that it'll again and up and down. I know all life does that.
How big an influence on your music has Brian been?
Very, very much, in the sense of stick to it, knowing that what he's doing is good. So if you feel comfortable in what you do, or if you know you like what you're doing, you could put more into it. Brian has inspired that in me.
The progression from 15 Big Ones to the Beach Boys' Love You has been, or was, tremendous, and there's no reason why it shouldn't continue in that direction except for these constant and annoying rumors that have been circulating around the industry recently about the cloudy future of the Beach Boys. Would you care to comment on that for a second or two?
Well, there is definitely a dark cloud over the Beach Boys at this time.
There has been trouble before.
But not, see, everyone takes it in a different way. The problem is not the music, and it's not the individual members of love of performing for people and being of participating as a Beach Boy. That's not the problem. The problem is within management and control of direction of the group, of where to record, who to be the manager, and how much money to be spent on whatever projects they want. And I personally feel that to have a successful group, you must have everything equal. Everybody must have an equal right. And when equal rights are taken away, it's not fun.
There have been management problems before.
Yes, there's always management problems with every group.
And they've been resolved.
I think Elvis Presley, out of everyone, may have had the longest and most successful relationship with the Colonel. But the Beach Boys are very much homemade, and everyone has good intentions, you know. It's funny to sit at a table with five people and you have to vote, and you've lived with them and bled with them and been through the highs and the lows of the career emotionally, and we've cried together over singing Surfer Girl in Boston once. The girls in the audience started to cry, and it made us cry because they loved it, you know, the exchange, the profound beauty of the group, going through all those experiences, but then sitting around a table talking about money. It's like, I got an upset stomach over it.
Sure.
I couldn't believe it. So that is being very candid and very truthful about the situation.
Well, my comment on that is the same as it was earlier before we began taping. The Beach Boys, I think, are too important to too many people
to
have a situation like this.
I agree. I believe the Beach Boys will always make music.
Do you pay any attention to critics?
Yes.
How? How so?
Well, the Beach Boys, not as much, because you have five guys in the group, right?
Uh-huh.
And you all can kind of lean again. Ah, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But if you do a solo project and you read an article, like I read an article about, we were talking earlier about the song Farewell, My Friend.
Uh-huh.
I read an article where the guy said it's so simple, it's... I forgot the word he used.
Did it hurt?
In other words, he made fun of the record.
Did it hurt?
Yeah.
What's ahead, Dennis? What's next?
There's a few things ahead. The new contract with CBS Epic Caribou for the Beach Boys. Several albums there. My albums, again. I'm halfway through my second album. I think I'm going to call it Bamboo. I have two film projects now that are in the can, but I've can't talk about.
Okay.
Until they're, you know, it's complete.
What is your favorite song on Pacific Ocean Blue and why?
I think the last song is my favorite because
it's called End of the Show.
I just feel best at that time on the album. When it gets to the end of the show, I just have a good feeling. And I relate, I guess, to that place and that time.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
Dennis, we look forward to your next solo effort. And as I said earlier, the Beach Boys are too important to too many people not to continue. I hope you will communicate that message back to your brothers for me.
Peter, I will.
Thank you for taking time out for the Crawdaddy Rock Review.
Thank you, Crawdaddy.
You've been listening to the Crawdaddy Rock Review with me, Pete Fornital. The Crawdaddy Rock Review is produced by Cinema Sound Limited in association with the editors of Crawdaddy Magazine and presented by Discwasher. Production techniques and engineering by Martin Brooks. Direction by Leonard Dugo.